So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 58. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Admiral Akbar, and hopefully it's not a trap. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hi everyone, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Anyway, we also have Caitlin with us. Hey, Caitlin.
Hello!
I don't know why I make like the response for people listening. It's weird. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. Leave us a comment on our Facebook or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on Hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free today. We have also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. We have some amazing perks like our Discord chat, which we have two Patreons listen to us right now. You can jump into the recording studio, make comments in the chat room, which will distract me while we record. Join us for our movie nights. We had an awesome movie night with Phantom Menace last week. That audio will be exclusively for our Patreons coming up soon. And our After Dark episodes, which we are currently planning. Is there anything else that I missed on you, Caitlin?
Not that I'm aware of.
If you go for the highest tier, you will eventually get a t-shirt and a button pack, right?
A t-shirt and button pack. I don't think it says button pack, but I will probably throw a button pack in there because, you know,
we love our fans. I thought it said button.
Maybe it does. But regardless, I'm going to put them in there anyway. even if it says it's going to be in there. So definitely Patreon is definitely a way to help support us because it does, you know, it helps us offset the cost of paying for hosting and all that fun stuff that we do to have a website and, you know, produce this podcast. Also, if you can't do Patreon, that's still cool. But if you want a t-shirt, especially with May the 4th being tomorrow while we're recording or today while we release it, you can have a really cool Resistance Radio t-shirt. Or even buttons that are also available on our website. I think it's time for the news. All right, so first bit of news. I love this news. We just took the time before the show to sit in silence and listen to Danya cackle about this. Is Mark Hamill has released another video for Omaze, for Forces for Change, and it's called It's a Trap, which just conveniently lines up with our Admiral Akbar episode. It may or may not have done this conveniently. But we talked about Omaze previously, where you have three really amazing chances to win three amazing prizes. You know, their past, present, and future one, where you can view the original Star Wars A New Hope at Skywalker Ranch and stay in one of the really cool rooms and look through the Lucasfilm archives there. You can go to the premiere of The Last Jedi or even be in the new Han Solo movie, which is really cool. So you have three things. But because Omaze is doing such an amazing job, and Star Wars fans are just so awesome, and we're supporting. They want to finish strong. If you go ahead and support it, even if you've done it, you're automatically added to this drawing. If you haven't, go ahead and do it. There's a fourth prize they're going to throw in there, which is lunch with Mark Hamill, and obviously tickets to the premiere.
I want that one.
Yeah, lunch with Mark Hamill would be pretty cool, right? But apparently, Mark said he'd be at the Lucasfilm too. So I think like. Regardless, I'd be happy with any of the prizes. But still,
look,
like,
any of the ones that get me in the same room as Mark Hamill are like ace by me. So,
you don't care
to
be in the. You don't want to be in the new Han Solo film, then.
I mean, if Mark Hamill's there, then fine. But
but otherwise, you're just like whatever, you know.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, okay,
I'm here for Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill is the content that I need. The quality Star Wars content I'm looking for.
All right. Well, Mark Hamill, actually, you know what's really funny is in this video, I do want to talk about, he plays a prank, so we'll have to link to it in our show notes. It's a great video. Like, obviously, if you had a chance, go ahead and support Omaze and Force for Change and UNICEF. They just do some amazing charity stuff. But in this video, he does a great prank where he basically pranks a bunch of Star Wars fans into kind of pretending to do lines from the classic trilogy for Star Wars 40th anniversary. And while they're doing the line, they bring out a guest actor, which happens to be Mark Hamill, and they all kind of freak out. I think my favorite was the guy who was doing the Darth Vader line incorrectly, because that's what, you know, everyone does when they say, Luke, I am your father, which he doesn't actually say it that way. But his face was just like stuck in this biggest grin ever, which I'm like, that's how I would be if I saw Mark. What do you guys think of the video overall?
You guys got to listen to me cackling about it. So I think,
I think
pretty
true.
Much sum it up. I think we can pretty much sum it up by I was eternally delighted by this video because it was great. And I love Mark Hamill a lot, which is, I'm sure, a shock to everyone listening.
What, you said you loved him?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, happened? Right?
Why'd you stop loving him?
I never would have thought. Tense.
Loved or love. Anyway, what do you guys think about him making fun of the his lines from Force Awakens? My favorite was he recreated the scene at the very end of Force Awakens. And he turned around, like the and then his first comment was, it's supposed to come with the hand. What do you guys think of that?
Did you bring the hand too? I think he's still a little bitter.
At every
single chance that he's got, he's basically digging about the fact that he showed up, he rocked up and did that, and he basically just got to hang around on set being a doofus, and he didn't even have to say anything, and then got a paycheck. So he basically got to just really thoroughly enjoy himself on set without having to worry about learning any lines. I mean, isn't that the ideal?
Where do I sign up for that job?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to more news. We got this from Screen Rant that we have confirmation that John Boyega survives The Last Jedi. So I guess that, you know.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah. Well, but see, here's the thing is we don't know. He says he's going to rejoin the cast of 2019 Episode 9. But, we also heard that Luke makes it there too at one point in time. But who knows? We'll see.
I hope he'll be a Force ghost.
Maybe he'll be a Force ghost. Maybe, I don't know. But what do you guys think of this? Like, if he does survive, you know, obviously, we know he survived to Episode 8. Because, you know, he's in the pod. That's what we see in the trailer. You guys excited that Finn survives another movie?
Yeah, that's why I put the exclamation mark in the notes.
Okay, well, I know it's Finn. Who doesn't love Finn?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that they're not going to kill the black guy off first, I guess, because that's the movie.
That's like a bad
that's
horror
the
movie,
trope,
Danya.
Isn't it? Right.
Oh, man. Do you think he'll ever find out if Rey has a boyfriend? Cute boyfriend? Or no?
I don't think it matters.
No, me either.
Okay. I just wanted to know. You know, she never answered that question before. Moving on. The Han Solo movie starts filming on location A in the Canary Islands. What do you guys think about, like, I really have no clue where the Han Solo film is actually going to be taking place story-wise. Like, I'm looking at these pictures here. Where do you think this could be in the Star Wars universe? Like, it's not going to be a major planet. I can't imagine it being, like, Corellia, because it doesn't look like that. What do you guys think?
I mean, didn't they say that the whole film is going to take place across, like, different points in Han's life, like, as he's growing up?
Yeah, that's what they said, right? But I don't know how they're going to do it, especially if they have, like, Lando in. I can't imagine them aging him so quickly. Like, I don't know. I'm optimistic about the film, but now I'm, like, getting confused with it, because I don't know what's coming
what
out of it.
What I mean is that it could literally be anywhere. He is a smuggler. Like, so I would imagine that he visits a very many different planets or places, so, you know, it just doesn't, it doesn't tell you enough to, like, give you enough information for where it's going to be set. But I would imagine that it's not going to be static. I mean, I would expect that the location that we would see the most in the film is probably the Millennium Falcon, or inside of the Millennium Falcon, at least. But when they are on planet, or when they are planet side, I would imagine that we are not going to be static. We're not going to be in the same place. We'll probably move around a lot.
Well, so, it does mention in the article that they're filming inland at the Sandy Desert, but also on the beach. So it could be the one planet they're shooting on. It could be two different planets.
Yeah. So I would imagine that they're probably going to utilize different places here. It's probably been chosen because it has varied terrain, which means that it's going to be easier for them to, like, make it look like several different locations without having to move around as much. But, yeah.
I don't know. That's what a studio set's for, also. I don't know. Well, I don't know. The Han Solo film, the more news that comes out of it, the more I'm like, I'm optimistic, and I'm kind of nervous a little bit about it, Danya. Maybe you're wearing off on me.
Yeah, you're...
Am I making you pessimistic?
No, I'm going to be excited. You know what? As long as there's Chewbacca, I'm going to be okay with it. It's fine. That's all I care about. Chewbacca and Lando Calrissian will be fine. All right. Moving on. Today, or actually yesterday, I guess... May 2nd was the release of two new Star Wars books. We have Guardian of the Wheels, which follow Baze Malbus and Chur Emwe, along with Rebel Rising, which is also a new book that is following the path of Jyn Erso before when she was working with Saw Gerrera when she was growing up. So both these books are now available. I'm actually currently reading Rebel Rising myself. It's not bad so far. It's kind of interesting perspective considering it's following her when she's younger, while she's with Saw Gerrera, kind of this rebel indoctrine that she's getting. It's kind of cool. I like it. I'm actually really excited.
Whereas I am currently reading the Guardians of the Wills book.
Yes, and I'm excited to read that too. I want to take the time. I want to make sure I can sit down and spend the full time to read that one because I feel like the Guardian of the Wills is going to give us a lot of lore that will tie into a lot of the things that we're going to see.
It is. Delightful. Absolutely love it. Yeah. And I know that it's technically aimed at a younger audience, but again, so was Before the Awakening, and I thoroughly enjoyed that book as well. I think it's just Greg Rucka. I think he's just fantastic. And he's just got such a good way of capturing these characters. And I'm just really enjoying it. I have had to put it down and temporarily kind of like put a pause on it because the new Apollo book, Rick Riordan book, came out. So
I've had to jump series.
Yeah, but it's the
Trials of Apollo, right?
Yeah. So it's the new one. Is it the Dark Prophecy? I think it's called.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm about to start reading that. So, because I absolutely freaking love Rick Riordan, and
yes,
I love the Percy Jackson books, and
yes,
I love everything to do with that.
Segue real quick. Have you read his Norse Gods books?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, I haven't read that one. Yes. Magnus Chase? I haven't read that one yet. I want to.
Yeah, Magnus Chase is good as well.
Is
just
it good?
Everything. Okay. Everything he does is so good.
His stuff has been great. I loved everything. Even the,
Bread Pyramid,
all those ones.
I don't want to sway us too much, but I almost feel like I like the Magnus Chase series more than I like the Apollo series. But I've also read
Moving back to Star Wars news, guys. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm just going to stop right there. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to jump around here on our notes, guys, but we're going to talk about Nokia. Has announced a partnership with Lucasfilm.
Is that seriously how you say it?
Nokia?
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Nokia. that's how the brand is pronounced in the UK. That's so weird.
All right, go eat your chalk ice, Danya. Anyway, Nokia announced a new partnership with Lucasfilm, and we'll see an immersive VR behind-the-scenes content released in conjunction with the next film, Star Wars The Last Jedi. And subsequent movies will also get the same treatment. So Nokia has actually created a really cool VR camera. They call it the Ozio 360-degree VR camera, and it was used to capture a whole bunch of like behind-the-scenes footage. So I don't know how we're going to get this footage, but they're going to release it somehow. I'm assuming on their website or in conjunction with like a phone or something like that. Or maybe just in the Star Wars app like we got with Rogue One or the The Force Awakens. But I'm excited to be able to, you know, take my phone and hopefully walk around one of the new planets in The Last Jedi, or just see the back, you know, the backstage stuff that's going on. I'd love to see, like, that room that Luke was in with the Jedi books and stuff like that on Ahch-To. What do you guys think of this?
I mean, I really like this, the ones that they did for Rogue One. I really like the one that they did with BB-8 as well. They were kind of fun. They were nice little tie-ins. They set a really good atmosphere for things, and it was just a little bit of fun. So I love the idea of, like, doing stuff like this with VR, especially with, like, any behind-the-scenes stuff as well. So, yeah, I think it's fun. I like the idea. I hope that they keep doing stuff like this, because it's just a little bit different. It's almost like, in its own way, an interactive poster. So you actually get to step into it and walk around it and look at it. So,
yeah. Get to walk around, look at it. Too bad you can't touch it, though. That'd be kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just wait, just wait for the parks.
But you know what you can touch? You can touch Legos. And you know what? See, like, look how I led us right to the next thing. I know, right? It's like I planned that. Anyway, starting tomorrow on May the 4th, or today, whenever I release this. This is weird, because I'm trying to release this on the 4th. Disney XD will be doing 24 hours of Lego Star Wars programming, which is pretty cool. Also, on May the 4th, we will get a special sneak peek of Season 2 of Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures. Or Lego Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures. Now, I'll tell you this. I'm not completely caught up on The Freemaker Adventures. It's pretty exciting, but I know Dano watches it a lot. Have you guys watched The Freemaker series at all?
I have not, but I've heard very, very good things about it.
So here's the thing. Is the Lego Star Wars stuff is not canon, but they make jokes about it being canon sometimes. So it's just a really cool, interesting, like, story that they're telling. And obviously it's Lego humor. So if you were a fan of, like, any of the Lego movies or the Lego video games, that humor is all in there. So it's really cool. Like, they have a trailer for the season one. I think we talked about it at one point when they first announced the series, but, I'm excited for this, because if you have Disney XD on May the 4th, you can literally just turn on that channel and just watch Star Wars related stuff all day. Or you can just, like, you know, watch the movies all day too. And we have some patrons who are super excited for the season too. Did you guys get a chance to look at the trailer or anything like this?
No, I kind of figured it probably wasn't a good idea to watch the trailer for season two, and I haven't watched the first season.
Well, that's the trailer for season one, not season two, because this trailer will be out tomorrow.
Wait, so what?
Yeah, so a sneak peek will be on May the 4th. So we don't have a season two.
Okay.
So that's a season one trailer that you can see there.
So they've
announced that. It's kind of like when they announced that they're going to do a Star Wars trailer, but they haven't released a Star Wars trailer. Like, we got the news that there's going to be a trailer coming out.
If it was the trailer for season one, then yeah, I watched that, like, ages ago, probably around the time when they were doing
announcing
the promo
it.
For Freemaker Adventures season one. Like,
okay,
when that first came out. So it's been a while. Yeah.
And actually, I think a patron described Freemaker series great. They said they heard it's canon-ish, that you should imagine it as through a child is acting out history for you with their toys.
That is a great
description of it. Because, like I said, it's not canon, but it kind of is. They kind of make jokes about it in the show and other things. But yeah, so Freemaker series, we're going to get a sneak peek tomorrow, May the 4th. Be with you. And also with you. Anyway, also with May the 4th, Star Wars Day, we have some amazing deals that I want to make sure we talk about. I don't want to go through all the deals that they're up there. We'll link to them, but StarWars.com has a great list of Star Wars Day deals you can get from everywhere. But there are a couple of really cool deals that I would encourage people to take a look at if you're interested in certain things. Anovos has some amazing deals on their website. Specifically, everything from, like, Poe Dameron's Black Squadron helmet to a Director Krennic Admiral outfit to screen accurate Jyn Erso costume, or Here's the really cool one. For the first time, you can pre-order the Force Awakens First Order Stormtrooper Standard Kit for a low price of $675, which is way cheaper than it's ever been. Like, normally it's like $2,000 to get the, you know, the full armor. They're pre-ordering it for $675 for a Star Wars Day, or you can get a full Stormtrooper kit reservation for $450, which is actually a really good deal if you're trying to join like the 501st and build yourself some Stormtrooper costume. What do you guys think of the stuff that's on Anovos' website?
I wish I had more money.
Yeah, basically.
That's kind of what it is. The downside is, you know, it's like right now you're like, oh, cool, I can get these really cool costumes and get into them, and they're great, but, oh, wait, you know, it's expensive.
It's so funny because, I don't know if they've still got it. They have. There is a dress that I really, really love that they've got, that they made, that is Star Trek Beyond. Like, they did, you know, the poster they had with the Enterprise, like, going up, they had, like, all of the really cool bright colors, like, arcing up behind the Enterprise. Well, they turned that poster into this really cool asymmetrical dress. I've wanted it for forever, but it's still, like, $120. Like, I don't know if that'll actually fit, because, like, it's really difficult to tell because, okay, I don't know. Like, if there are any other women listening to this. So I have the problem where I'm quite short. I'm quite wide on the hips.
Preach.
Tiny in the waist and also quite large in the bust area.
Yep.
So buying clothes is a disaster for me because I cannot find, like, any standard sizes. So asymmetrical dresses are great. They don't always fit me very well unless I try them on and see what they look like. So I'm in love with this dress, but I also can't order it online because it's so difficult to, like, judge whether it'll fit properly or not. Well, and that is the problem with, like, buying a lot of stuff online for me because I'm such an odd, not an odd shape. I guess I'm an odd.
We're the shape that people don't make clothes for.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Because, like, I bought, it's kind of a Star Wars dress. It's from Think Geek. And, like, the cowl on it, it's like a hood, but also like a cowl, like, scarf. And it
I know the dress.
Yeah, the Resistance symbol all over it. And I bought it because I had to buy it a certain size so that it would fit over my bust. But it gapes in places and is too big in other places. And so, like, I need to get it, like, hemmed or whatever, but it requires too much sewing for my capability. So I have to wait till either I learn or find somebody who's willing to fix it for me to actually wear it. So I can't even wear it tomorrow.
No, that's impossible.
I do have a dress that has space.
I don't have that. I don't have that problem. I'm sorry, Gavin.
Yeah, see, this is welcome to the problem of being a woman where there are no standard sizes or shapes, really. So it's very difficult, like, very difficult to buy clothes a lot of the time because it's clothing is usually made for women who are thin and are, like, straight down, like in a straight line. Everything is nice. When you have any form of curves or you are not completely, like, standard in your sizes, you have to make compromises. So, like, if I buy trousers, usually they're too long and they'll fit my waist. Or they'll fit my hips, but not my waist.
Yes.
So this is so I would love to buy anything from Anovos, but I would guarantee you that whatever I bought would just wouldn't fit properly.
Yeah.
Well, not just, it wouldn't even just be like a little bit of modifying. It would be significant modifying. This is why I don't buy a lot of clothes online. So.
Aww. Anyway, moving on to other great deals for May the 4th is we have some amazing gaming deals. Everywhere from Apple is doing discounts on Star Wars titles, like Knights of the Old Republic is 50% off, to Google Play and Amazon Android Store taking up to 50% off on certain titles. Steam also has an amazing sale of up to 77% off a lot of different titles, including the Star Wars Classic Collection for PC and Mac, and Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, which is both Mac and PC compatible, for $5. That's kind of awesome. Like, I actually went and just purchased it right now while, you know, we were talking. So I'm excited for that. What do you guys think about some of the games? You know, like, obviously Star Wars and gaming has been together for a long time. There's a whole podcast named JotoCast that we are friends with that do Star Wars and gaming podcasts. What do you guys think of these awesome Star Wars sales?
It's good. Usually I have to double check and make sure that it works on a Mac because I don't always like dual booting or jumping back and forth between my Windows partition. I like the convenience of just being able to log into the Mac side and do it, but it's cool. It's always good to be able to get games again or buy games again, especially when maybe you don't have the console anymore or you don't have the platform anymore or anything like that. So yeah, and also it's through Steam, which is where I play pretty much everything at the moment. Though when I say pretty much everything, what I mean is I'm playing Stardew Valley. which, so if you were in the Patreon chat earlier this week, I did ask like a really weird question of like, would R2-D2 be a cat or a dog? But there, it was a very specific reason for that. I'm basically making Luke Skywalker a farm, so I needed to know if I was giving him a pet cat or a pet dog.
Some things I'm pulled up the Steam sale. Some other games of highlight that I do want to mention. Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, which was just released on PC, which is that classic N64 game. Obviously, Shadows of the Empire is now legacy now, but it holds a fond place in a lot of our hearts. It is $4.01 to purchase it, at least in the US. I don't know about you, Donnie, and your money for pounds and stuff, but yeah.
Don't, because it fluctuates all the time now. Yay, yep. Brexit.
Yeah. Other great things that you can also get, like I said, the classic Knights of the Old Republic for both Mac or PC is $2.49 right now. So these games are just absolutely amazing prices. So if you are interested, definitely we'll have links in our show notes. The sale is going through to the end of the week. Or you can just buy the amazing Complete Collection, which has 24 different Star Wars games for $60. Or you can buy like the old school X-Wing series to get all four of them for $30, which is pretty cool too. Because X-Wing Alliance, TIE Fighter, Special Edition, I played way too much of that as a kid. Anyway, moving on to some of the other things. We have Think Geek has its own sales with some amazing May the 4th sales. They always have some interesting things. One of my favorites this year is the Death Star Popcorn Maker. I'm a big fan of Air Pop Popcorn. I always have fun doing that. Or the BB-8 Waffle Maker. What do you guys think of the Think Geek stuff?
I've bought
I love Think Geek. Yeah. I always peruse Think Geek. Like every now and again I'll go on there and I'll like scroll through and be like, oh, all of this stuff is great. And I'll keep scrolling on right by because their shipping rates to the UK are extortionate. You get hit on the shipping rates, but you also get hit on customs and import charges as well.
Yes.
So you get hit twice over. So as much as I love all the stuff from Think Geek and I wish I could buy more of it, yeah, it's not so convenient if you live in the UK, unfortunately.
I have multiple because it's like, okay, I either have to buy a lot to make the shipping fee worth it, but then I get hit extra at customs. And then there's the exchange rate.
Yeah.
It's not as fun for me.
Yeah, exchange rate problems.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Says
guys.
The one with the higher ranked money.
Well, sorry, you say well, that.
Well, for those of you in the U.S., definitely check out ThinkGeek Sales because they have some really cool stuff. You know, who doesn't want to get, you know, Star Wars Rebels friend cookie cutters and make yourself, you know, really cute Aww. Princess Leia cookies? Like,
I do actually have Star Wars cookie cutters.
Well, they're not the. Go.
They're not those ones that I got them from. It's like a baking shop called Lakeland here, and I got them from there because they were on sale and it was awesome. And I was like, "Yeah, Star Wars biscuits."
Biscuits, not cookies. They also
yeah, because
the,
they're biscuits.
Okay, okay. The difference. Jeez. This terminology stuff. The one other thing I wanted to say is that BB-8 tea set that we've talked about once before is on sale also of up to 24% off, so that's kind of cool.
I really All want right. the R2-D2 teapot.
I really want the R2-D2 mini fridge. I think my wife would kill me if I got a mini fridge, but it's R2-D2. Hey, how cool would it be to just like have refreshments while I'm recording the show, and it's R2-D2? Okay. Anyway.
You said that I've got a mini fridge, so it's...
Well, I don't. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. So, definitely check out all the wonderful deals that are for May the 4th. Visit StarWars.com. They have a list there. We'll have a bunch in our show notes. But I think it's time for our spotlight topic. Admiral Akbar, where it won't always be a trap. So, let's talk about Admiral Akbar. What? So, let's start with Admiral Akbar. We get introduced to Admiral Akbar in Return of the Jedi. He is a Mon Calamari soldier and a leader. He is part of, he's on the ship Home One, and he has a very critical role in the second Death Star battle. So what do you guys think? First of all, what's our general opinion of Admiral Akbar? Obviously we saw, Admiral Raddus, who was meant to be like a Winston Churchill in, Rogue One. And, you know, we didn't really see Admiral Akbar in Rogue One. But we know Akbar is in, you know, in later on, and he's also there in Force Awakens. What are your guys' feelings about Admiral Akbar?
I mean, he's iconic to Star Wars.
He is iconic because it's a trap, but, like, you think he's a pivotal character? He's just kind of background character all the time?
Well,
what do you guys think?
I would say probably that... I wouldn't necessarily say that he's a... pivotal character? I don't know. I don't know what you necessarily mean by that specifically.
Well, think about when we analyzed Watto. You know, we kind of thought how important Watto was as a character. Where without Watto, you know, Anakin may have never fallen to the dark side. You know, you think he could have played? He played a bigger role than what most people give him credit for.
I feel like he's like on the same level as like Boba Fett. In the sense that people have made like a huge, people have made like they've kind of taken one piece of that character and kind of blown it up so they became bigger than what they were originally written as. Same with Darth Vader. Vader, really, if you think about it, in the first movie that you saw him in.
You know, yeah, Vader was only in the film for like 4 minutes, and obviously Tarkin was meant to be the primary villain. But yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because we do get a lot of Admiral Akbar in the EU, which obviously is no longer canon, but Admiral Akbar has made his way into a lot of the different novels that are post, you know, post Return of the Jedi, before Force Awakens. You know, he was in the Aftermath series. He was also in Bloodlines. He made a small appearance in, Lost Stars. He was in the Clone Wars series. Yeah, he was in a lot of different things. And he's always been there just as a brilliant tactician. You know, he really, you know, he was able to identify, with the help of Lando Calrissian, that the reason they are being jammed at, you know, the Battle of Endor, that it was a trap! And without that, you know, they could have all just smashed into, you know, the shields. So I'll give Akbar, you know, a pretty big, you know, thumbs up from Mikey, just because Yeah, that is, you know, it's important. Without, obviously, you know, he has become a meme, if you will, of himself, you know, with Admiral Akbar cereal saying things like, you can't repel flavor of that magnitude, because, you know, it's amazing because he's Admiral Akbar. But I don't know, like, I want to give Akbar plenty of kudos for what he's done, but I really want to dive into kind of him before and after the what we've seen in the films. But yeah, you guys agree with me on Akbar?
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't trying to say he wasn't important. I was just saying, like, he went from being, like, a background character to being, like, a well-beloved character with not a lot, like, at that time when it came out, not a lot.
Yeah, that's basically how I feel as well. It's not to say that the impact that he had wasn't important to the trajectory of the story, which it was. It's just that he became fairly iconic from very little, like Boba Fett did, because Boba Fett basically does not a lot. Like, for as iconic as Boba Fett is as a character, he's barely in the films at all. So, I wouldn't... This is what I mean by, like, calling him a pivotal character would suggest that maybe he needed to be focused on significantly more in the films, but for what we saw on screen, his impact was, you know, fairly significant.
Yeah, I'll take that. We are introduced to Akbar in the Clone Wars series too, so we see him a little bit before we see him in the actual Star Wars films. He was captain of the Mon Cal Guard, and he fought at the Battle of Mon Cala during the Clone Wars with Kit Fisto was there. And we got to see him there, you know, see him with Kit Fisto fighting the Korans, which was a really cool kind of animation, just seeing, you know, Akbar fighting almost with the, I think it was with a spear, if I remember correctly, at one point in time. But, you know, this is where I love him, is because we see him like Saw Gerrera. He's made it from the Clone Wars to the actual films, or actually from the actual films to the Clone Wars series, to kind of continuing on in The Force Awakens. But let's just kind of go through some of the highlights. Obviously, he did a little bit in The Clone Wars, which we didn't really see, other than if you watch The Clone Wars series. And I know, Caitlin, you just watched The Clone Wars series. What'd you think of that episode where Admiral Akbar was in there?
I kind of liked it, just because, again, it gave us more of a background, and you kind of saw him at the beginning, and, like, you saw him on his home planet. So in his natural environment.
Swimming underwater, you know?
Yeah. Dealing with the Korin and Prince, what's his face? Lee.
Prince Lee Char, if you... If
there I we go. I got the first part right.
We got right. But yeah, so, you know, it was one of those things where he obviously was fighting to keep Mon Cal part of the Republic, whereas the Korans were trying to move them away from with the Confederacy and the Separatists. So, you know, he was just a guard there, and he obviously proved himself and kind of moved along there. During the Galactic Civil War, you know, he led the Battle of Endor. You know, he is the person who kind of, he planned the attack. You know, he kind of helps us, you know, Han Solo go to the ground to disable the shield generator. He had the different fighter squadrons to go in to destroy the Death Star itself. And he was even able to, like I said, he was able to identify that it was a trap and able to go ahead and re-pivot the whole fleet, if you will, so that they can survive a little bit longer. And kind of hopefully that Han would be able to get those shields down so they can actually complete their attack that they were planning to do. After this time, you know, we get into some of the novelization, where we have the rebellion at Akiva, which was kind of in the first Aftermath novel?
Yes.
Yeah. Where he ended up going ahead and, helped freeing that planet. And it was kind of the start of the New Republic, if you will, kind of pushing the Empire back and taking freedom there. You know, he definitely played a smaller role in the novels. I think Wedge and Tilly's had a little bit bigger role than Akbar in those books. What do you think, Danya?
Most of the time I forget that Wedge was in stuff. Like, I completely forgot that Wedge was...
Wedge got captured in that book. Like, there was chapters dedicated to Wedge and Tilly.
I was going
to
say, didn't it
he
start...
He dates Nora Wexley!
I can't remember if it started off with Nora.
The book started with Wedge and Tilly's.
Exactly with him?
It started with Nora, but then it went to Wedge right away.
Okay,
and
that's
what the whole catalyst is. Wedge is captured and he gets a message out to Nora to start the whole catalyst of the novel. Jeez, Danya.
Whoops. It has been a long time since I read the first Aftermath book, in fairness.
Alright. Well, alright, so let's move on a little bit further. We'll get towards the showdown at Jakku, which is the last Aftermath novel, which we just talked about. So in this one, this was interesting. You know, it was one of those things where going into that last standoff at Jakku before the Empire really ended, and the beginning of the First Order started, if you will, and the rebellion becomes the Republic and kind of takes over. You know, we saw kind of the political inner rumblings between, you know, Princess Leia, Mon Mothma, and how they were trying to get the, you know, Senate to approve, military action at Jakku so they can go ahead and finish off what they had started with the destruction of the second Death Star. And it was really interesting to see Admiral Ackbar bring other people into and kind of command another flotilla. And you get to kind of see inside his head. And, you know, just some of the different things that happened. You know, one of the things was, I absolutely forgot who this was, but he brought out another commander who had been injured in the Aftermath series, who was at the end of Return of the Jedi. And my brain is just like, drawing a blank, but they commanded a Starhawk and brought down the ship that we see in the Force Awakens trailer. You know, the ship, the Death Star, that is the Super Star Destroyer that's on the ground in Jakku was controlled by someone that Admiral Ackbar had a close relationship to, and he encouraged to come back to join the fight to help destroy the Empire. Just like him having that kind of confidence in those around him was probably his strongest. Was something that I felt was like kind of a very specific characteristic trait of Admiral Ackbar, being able to get other people to push themselves to be able to overcome certain things and I'm trying to say it without like gushing too much about Ackbar, because I'm staring at a picture of him right now. I'm like, look at his eyes. Like, Admiral Ackbar, I have so much affinity for you. And I want to just keep saying it's a trap. But really, when it comes down to, like, I feel like he was an effective leader and able to go ahead and bring out the best in those he commanded. What do you guys think about that Battle of Jakku that he was able to kind of crush and turn the tide for the rebellion, or I guess the New Republic?
See, I really love when they take characters and sort of expand their role a little bit, but connect it into the continuing canon in really meaningful ways. So when you go and you read stuff like the Aftermath books, and when you read any of like the novels, and you see these little minor details that, you know, that like for what they are, if you were like a casual viewer, most people would like wonder about that sort of thing. You go and see these movies and you're like, oh yeah, it's just an Imperial ship, like whatever, no big deal, it just looks cool. But then them going in and giving it story and purpose and meaning, that is stuff that I find incredibly interesting with the Star Wars universe. And the fact that it has links back to Admiral Ackbar is like amazing. I just love how they thread everything back together, and the fact that it's linked back to a character who is, for all intents and purposes, very, very, very iconic to the original trilogy is just great. And so, yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it when they just start, when they utilize characters that have already been introduced and expand on them and give them a more varied, like, personality and role and purpose. That's the stuff that gets really, really interesting to me, because it takes what is essentially a minor character with some impact and influence from what we've seen on the screen, and just pushes it that one step further. So yeah, no, I loved everything that they did with him. So,
Caitlin.
What Donya said.
All right. You go back to who I said who he was able to command, and who had the command of the star of this Starhawk was Commodore Carista Agate. I knew I'd remember it eventually. It's like as soon as I stopped talking, I remembered. So after the showdown at Jakku, as the New Republic went ahead and eventually defeated the Galactic Empire and started to form a government, at that point, Admiral Akbar has gone into retirement. Before we get into his time at the Resistance, I do want to mention his role in Bloodlines, which was very minor. But we also found out that Admiral Akbar was one of the few people to know who Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker's father was after the destruction of the second Death Star. I almost wonder if he knew who Luke's father was before the Battle of Endor. What do you guys think? Do you think that's a possibility, or do you think he just knew afterwards?
Well, considering Leia didn't even know.
Yeah, I would imagine that it probably came later, specifically because that information probably became privy to him via Leia.
Well, see, and this is where I kind of wonder is, you know, we kind of see in Return of the Jedi, we kind of see that obviously our trio that we see Luke, Leia, Han, and including Chewbacca all obviously know that Luke, Vader is Luke's father. And they kind of don't believe it. They kind of almost, if you would just kind of push it and say, oh, I don't believe it. You know, he's like, you know, remember Luke says I'm in danger in the mission, Vader's on that ship, you know, everything like that. And Leia tells Luke to leave. So I don't think he would have known that Vader was Leia's father, but I think Luke would have confided this information in Admiral Akbar, just because you have to remember at this time, Luke was still part of the Rebel Alliance. You know, he was a commander at one point in time. He was Commander Skywalker at time of Empire Strikes Back. He did go off on his own a little bit to train with Yoda, which the Rebel Alliance was always kind of a little bit more laxed. But I think he would have probably told, you know,
you
Akbar.
Think? I mean, I think so. That information is like need to know. So it would be anyone who is directly involved in.
Well, and that's why I said I think he would know, because if Akbar was planning the entire attack on the second Death Star, you know, and he was a higher level official in the rebellion at this time, I feel like Luke would have told him, hey, you know, obviously this is who I am. I destroyed the first Death Star. You know, I helped you guys out at, you know, Echo Base and the evacuation. I'm a commander of, you know, Red Squadron. But, you know, he's like, I just found out that my father is Darth Vader. I think he would have told him, and I think that's how he knows Leia is, you know, Vader's Leia's father also, because as it comes out that Luke is Leia's brother, obviously Akbar would have known, and I feel like Leia would have then been able to, you know, find solace in being able to talk to Akbar about this. Obviously, this is speculation and kind of, you know,
yeah,
developing his character.
I'm not so convinced.
Regardless, we do know that he's one of the few people that will never have broken Leia's trust and did know the truth about who Vader was to Princess Leia. So he obviously had to our characters, Luke and Leia, he held a very high level of trust with them eventually at some point in time. You agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely agree that for him to be privy to that information at all, considering how closely kept secret it was, however he became aware of it, it shows a deep trust and a close relationship between them, because I don't think that either Leia nor Luke would have made that known to anyone that they didn't trust. There is no way that was common knowledge at any point at all, because it didn't get out. And the thing is that a secret is only as good as the people keeping it, and usually the easiest way to keep a secret a secret is to tell it to as few people as possible. So, yeah, I would imagine that that would be a huge amount of trust that that both Leia and Luke would have in him, and probably him in return, because it very obviously didn't color his opinion of them.
So, Mikey, do you think Luke trusted Ackbar enough to tell him that Rey is his daughter?
Well, I think Ackbar knows these types of things, and that's why, and this would be why, that General Leia coaxed Admiral Ackbar out of peaceful retirement to join and form the Resistance. So, you know, when Luke is now starting his Jedi Order, you know, he maybe entrusts some stuff to, I don't know. I'm going to go way, this is like way Mikey crazy theory here. But, you know, we all know that Rey. I didn't even want to set that up tonight, but thank you. I appreciate that. But this leads us to the next part of Admiral Ackbar and his kind of where we're at with him. So right now, Admiral Ackbar has actually joined back in the Resistance. We see him in The Force Awakens. So it's interesting to find out and see where we see Ackbar in, you know, in The Last Jedi. You know, I would like to see him have a little bit more of a role because he is a fan favorite. The really cool part about Admiral Ackbar is he's actually in the Star Tours ride at both Disneyland and Disney World. You can see him when you walk in, you can see him in the top left, kind of behind the glass. So I'm one of those fans where I would like to see a little bit more of Ackbar, maybe character development a little bit more, or a novel called It's a Trap by Admiral Ackbar.
No, I think it would be interesting to expand on him as a character a little bit, especially anything that's set around the point between Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, because we know that the Resistance is struggling because they don't really have the numbers at all, especially now that the Hosnian system has been destroyed, so there's no Senate, there's no fleet that could come to their aid at all. So it would be really interesting to see what an admiral is doing now that he's back in the fray after retiring for whatever reason, probably just to like have a little bit of peace. But like seeing what that mentality, what that mindset is, why he came back, what he's thinking, what's going on, like just anything, everything. It would be really interesting to see that mindset, especially in the wake of like Luke's location being known again, which is something that probably a lot of them are assuming will turn the tide a little bit should he be convinced to come back. So, I don't know, I just think it would be interesting to see it from a completely, like, separate character who isn't one of, like, the main trio. I just love, like, outside perspectives, I guess, that give you another look into the universe and the characters and an idea of who they are outside of, like, what we know their motivations to be. So I think it would be quite interesting, particularly a novel, I think.
I will say my favorite thing that Ackbar has contributed to the Star Wars franchise is the current... No, not it's a trap. It's a trap is really important. But to the current round of internet memes that are going out about C-3PO and his red arm, because for those of you who don't know, one of the first comics that we got after The Force Awakens was the comic on C-3PO on how he got his red arm. And it was all following, basically, because Admiral Ackbar was captured by the First Order. And basically, the story is how C-3PO befriends another droid, First Order droid, and he's able to go ahead and get information to Poe Dameron, the location of Admiral Ackbar, to rescue him. So, honestly, without Admiral Ackbar, C-3PO would have never gotten that red arm, and then Han Solo would have been able to recognize him. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, dear.
What, you didn't recognize him because of the red arm? Like, It was, that was C-3PO in The Force Awakens, if you guys didn't catch that. That's, you know, he has
I was wondering who that was.
Okay, yeah. just make sure. It's the red arm. You guys have seen all these memes that are coming around with the red arm, right?
No.
Oh, the best one, and I'm going to have to find it and post it on our website. The best one I saw is from the, you know, the original trilogy. And Obi-Wan is saying, that's no moon. It's a space station. And you see a picture of the Death Star with the red arm. It's like, oh, you didn't recognize me because of, the, you know, my red arm.
Okay. Seems a little odd that this has become a thing now.
It's the rise of the prequel memes, and now they're no longer allowed to have red arm memes inside prequel meme Reddit.
Okay, I just thought it was a little strange that like it would be now that would become a meme. I would have thought that it would have been.
It probably would have happened before. Yeah, I agree. It would have happened before. Here's another good one. I just posted. When Mace Windu says the Senate will decide your fate to Palpatine, and then he says, "I am the Senate," and he realized he didn't recognize him because of the red arm.
Yeah.
Come on. You know these are good. These are so bad. Anyway. Anything else about Admiral Akbar? Obviously, I'm excited to see what he'll play in The Last Jedi myself, just because, you know, he does have this familiarity with Luke and with Leia and with Han Gunn. You know, he knew Han Solo. Like, he is one of those characters who's been with them for a while. And I feel like with what we've been told of The Last Jedi, where it's very dark and a lot of things happen, I feel like Admiral Akbar will be one of those stronger characters. That can definitely be leaned on a little bit, and maybe we'll see a novel or comic or something to kind of expand on him a little bit more. But I just think it would be awesome to get more from Admiral Akbar, because we had Raddus be prominent in Rogue One and people loved him. So I'd love to see Akbar come back and be a little bit more prominent in the new franchise.
Yeah, same. And I mean, because there are very, very, very few high-level kind of like admirals, generals, anyone working within the Resistance, and because they are running on lower numbers, it would make a lot of sense to see him, if not in a significant role, at least in the background somewhere, making some kind of impact, or leading a little bit, it would make a lot of sense.
I really don't want to say the thought that entered my head, but because we know there will not be General Organa in Episode 9, would that not give an opportunity to potentially have Admiral Akbar more frequent in the movie?
Maybe that would be a very good opportunity for Akbar to step up and shine in some of those.
I would probably say that the most likely one to step up would be, is it Sato? Not Sato.
Sato died at the end of Rebel Season 3.
Not that one. Who's the one that is by her in the council? I'm trying. Remember who it was.
You're talking about
I'm getting people mixed up. There was another general with her. I'm trying to please hold.
Please hold while we do this. Let's see. It's not Kraken. That was in Rogue One.
Oh.
Statura?
There we go. Statura. That's it. Thank you. There we go. Statura, where I was thinking Sato, but I'm like, Sato? No, close. Statura. There we go.
Yeah. See, I almost feel like, here's the thing is, like, I can see Satura stepping up a little bit, but I feel like if they're going to have anyone step up more, it'll probably just end up being Poe Dameron. Because, one,
I don't like about that either.
Yeah. But you know, this is really interesting. You have to think about it too. I was ready to end the show, but now it's interesting. If you have to remember that in the time of The Force Awakens and beyond, the galactic, you know, government has been destroyed. The last bit of leadership you have is in the form of the First Order or the Resistance. You know, everyone that was on Hosnian Prime, Wedge was not there, was destroyed. He was not there. We don't know if Wedge lived or died. He was hanging out. He was on a honeymoon with Nora. Just let my headcanon work done. Do not burst this bubble.
Don't take this from him.
But yeah, so you don't take it. Oh, God. But yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, at this point, there is no central government. Could you imagine if all the world's governments, you know, in our world, all the governments were just destroyed? It would be.
I mean, right now that's probably not that bad a thing.
it would be anarchy, right?
You know, I mean, obviously it's kind of anarchy at the moment.
Okay, well, forget planet Earth for a minute. I think it's Star Wars. It is a Star Wars podcast, but you know, there's going to be this power struggle, and so we're definitely going to see a little bit more fighting for, you know, jockeying a position on different planets in The Last Jedi, because this is what, you know. Ryan Johnson has talked about how, you know, it's been a power vacuum. So I feel like bringing back someone like Admiral Akbar would bring some type of stability. You know, people know him. He was from Mon Cala. He was in the Rebel Alliance, and he was, you know, he's a decorated, you know, naval hero, you know, like all these things. Like, he would be a good person to step up, you know, in addition to Princess Leia. But again, Princess Leia has that wonderful, you know, past of being the daughter of Darth Vader. So having, you know, Akbar step up, not saying that, you know, Satura wouldn't make a good, you know, a good companion for, or even a good leader. I just feel like Akbar might be the, you know, the perfect choice. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah? No?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think there are probably other candidates that they would likely go with. Ahead of Akbar, not because Akbar isn't a strong character, but probably because they have more flexibility with them. Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see the direction that they take it in, because there's so much now that's like being blown open as like a possibility that there's no telling what direction that they're gonna have to take it in. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what they do from The Last Jedi onwards, because obviously a lot of stuff has provided a shake-up that maybe we weren't ever expecting to have to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else about Admiral Akbar? That's not a trap.
No, I think I'm going to have to, like, be like, Mikey, every time you say it, like, $5 in the trap jar.
It's a trap!
That's a load of crap.
It's a carp? Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. As always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I'm Caitlin.
And it's a trap! And may the Fourth be with you.
And also with you.
Thanks, everyone.